Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to the Danny Miranda podcast. If you followed along, I've been absent for the past month, and maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't, but I've noticed, and it's hurt me a lot to be gone. I can just throw out excuses if I'd like, but the truth is that I let my feelings dictate my actions, which then made my feelings worse. And showing up to this podcast is very important for me. It's very important for my mental health. It's very important for my physical health, apparently, too. And I'm grateful that I was able to come back, because a lot of times when you do something and you do it often, and then you take a break, it's hard to get back to that place, whether that's writing or going to the gym or whatever pursuit you do. If there's a break between doing it, it can sometimes feel intimidating, like the first time going back there, because you know you won't be as good as you were when you first left. So I'm grateful that I was able to do this episode with my friend Matt. And enough about me, right? This episode is featuring Matt McLeod, who is an online fitness coach, who is just a mindful, really thoughtful creator and individual. And I really admire his positivity, his energy, and the way he's approached social media and fitness. And so we spoke about a lot of that in this episode. And if you enjoy it, let me know on Twitter at Hey Danny Miranda. I'm super excited to give you guys this episode, and I hope you enjoy it as well. It's great to be back here. And without further ado, this is Matt McLeod.
Interesting people, thought-provoking conversations, nutrition for your brain. Journey through the minds of the world's top performers and discover what it really takes to achieve your highest version. This is the Danny Miranda Podcast.
Matt, my man, thank you for coming on the podcast. It's crazy because you interviewed me for the podcast, for yours, and I was like, oh my God, this dude's amazing. This dude is incredible. So it's long overdue that you come on mine. And so thank you for being here, my man.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you so much for, one, coming on my podcast, but then two, for also having me on yours as a, as a friend, as a follower, and like as a listener of the podcast. And I'm very, I'm honored to be here, and I'm stoked to hopefully provide some value.
Yeah, hell yeah. And you know, one thing I always admire about you as a fan of you is just how mindful it seems like you are from your writing, and how much you practice that aspect of yourself, when it's like so easy from my perspective to get involved in the whole into fitness and into business, and you've just kind of taken an approach of like, yeah, those things are cool, but also I want to have a third perspective to it. Well, I'm sure we'll get into fitness and business and how you got into those journeys, but I'd love to start with the mindfulness aspect of it and how you've maintained that approach.
Yeah, I think it was so with fitness, I've always seen fitness as the vehicle for change, right? It's like there's obviously so many references you can make with fitness, and like platitudes as far as, you know, consistency and delaying gratification and being disciplined over time, right? And all these different things. But people oftentimes get into the fitness game because they are trying to lose weight. They're trying to get abs. They're trying to make some type of more external goal happen. But usually that external goal is so that, in the simplest terms, so they can be happy, right? And what I started realizing quite some time ago after I learned a lot of the fitness stuff and I became a sponge learning up all the fitness stuff, then I was just like, okay, then I kind of got into more of the mindfulness side of things because I realized a lot of it was about being self-aware and controlling your emotions and understanding yourself. I think it just, I just kept what I'm really searching for. It's kind of like what Naval and them talk about. It's kind of just like, I'm searching for truth, and like the truth with inner peace and happiness has to come from, it's not going to come from abs. It's not going to come from the money. It's not going to come from all these other things. And so, you know, I'm 28 and just over the past few years, there's just so much that you can potentially get caught up in as far as money, power, status, you know, the rat race, all these different things to try and prove yourself. But I just, I kept, as I started to see some success with my business over the years and I started to make some more money and now I'm like, I'm doing okay. And, you know, rent's fine. My family's super healthy. Like I'm not worried about where my next meal is coming from. And I'm very happy with the work that I'm doing. I'm just like, but I still have these, you know, like we mentioned right before this, like these inner demons, or you still have this anxiety and stuff. And so I'm just like, I'm just trying to get to the very bottom kernel of all of that, right? And I think that that comes from truth and understanding. And I think that the only way that you can do that is through, one, like actually learning about it real quick. And I promise I won't go on a tangent too much longer with this, but it was a book called Already Free by Bruce Tift. I highly, highly recommend that book because it combines, he's a psychotherapist, so it panders, so I'm a registered dietitian, so it panders to my academia side, right? Like I can't just go all woo-woo, right? Like, trust me, I'm very much like woo-woo spiritual side of myself. However, I need some evidence. I need some like logical, rational thinking of just like, hey, here's what the research says. Here's how we're interpreting it. Here's our best guess at this. And then also you have, you know, practices like Buddhism and things, which right, like there's, they makes a lot of sense in itself. And so that book called Already Free, it's just from the title, you can kind of understand the concept behind it, right? It's just that we are already free, right? And it really helped me a lot in the sense of put things in perspective along with my own mindfulness practice. And I just realized that the harder or the more that I accepted or the more that I surrendered or whatever it was, the more that I learned about this stuff and about myself and became more mindful, the happier I was because I didn't spiral into these rabbit holes of thinking, right? Or I was able to stop myself whenever I started to really get into some negative thinking. And so long story short, I realized I was just like, I can't just talk about how much protein you should have with breakfast, right? I felt like a fraud. I was just like, I don't care. Like people, and that's not going to help. Like, sure, those little tactical things like that can help people with some of the fitness things, but it's just like, you're not going to be, if you can't be happy with, you know, $70,000, you're not going to be happy with $700,000. It's the same thing with abs. It's just like so many people have to get abs to realize, hey, this isn't actually going to make me happy. So it's all these same parallels. And so I knew that I had, and just my own interest in it, I knew I had to talk about it with my content. So yeah, that's your answer.
Yeah. So you're an online fitness coach, and it seems like this is such a, it's a pattern. I feel like it happens with a bunch of online fitness coaches where they have this problem with their body, let's say, and they're like, okay, I'll fix this problem. And then I'm going to teach other people about this problem. And then it's like, but you've now are on a different problem of like how to be happy, how to control your mindset, how to control, maybe it's not the right word, but how to be at peace with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes. Does it bother you that you're coaching something that a problem that you are currently not dealing with per se?
So, excuse me, I think no, because you know what it is? It's like a Trojan horse, right? This is what I mentioned as far as why fitness is the vehicle for these things. It just so happens that at a younger age, whenever I was in high school, I wanted to get bigger, stronger, and faster for high school football, right? I was a starting cornerback, and I wanted to, I wanted to play defense. I wanted to start varsity. And then I knew, okay, if I get smarter with this stuff, I'm going to, with lifting and nutrition, I can get bigger and stronger and faster, and therefore I can make a higher position on the football team, right? And so it led from all of that, right? And then I went to college for it and everything. So it's just that curiosity with fitness and everything then led me to becoming an online coach and helping people with these things. But what I'm realizing as I'm coaching people is that, yes, they come to me for the fat loss, for the abs, whatever it is. But then what I actually do, so they update me every single week, and then they go over problems or issues and things like that. And oftentimes, of course, within my scope of practice, right, I become their therapist, right? We have yeah. problems. They have, you know, they have stress. They're dealing with sleep issues. They're, trying to figure out how to match their workout plan and their nutrition with their lives. And it's like, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but you eat a lot throughout the day. Eating and fitness is a big part of everyone's life, whether they choose to or not, right? So it just fitness is the core. However, it has such a ripple effect on all these other things that we do. It's like, I can't help but talk about these other things with the people that I'm working with. So it's like, yes, sure, I still, you know, people come to me for a transformation and things. However, what keeps them staying with me much longer than maybe the initial 3 months that they signed up for is developing a relationship. And it is going usually much more than fitness, right? It's like, this is why my podcast is called the More Than Fitness Podcast. It's like, I put More Than Fitness on my website. I made a Squarespace website back in college. And the very first tagline that I put at the very top of my website was More Than Fitness, because I knew I was going to be talking about this type of stuff, because I just, it just goes beyond the X's and O's of how many macros you eat, what's your step count, what's your training split, all these different things. It's like, sure, like that's part of it. But the other big part comes from up here, and it comes from understanding and trying to work with yourself through these problems, right? So
yeah. You knew 6 years ago that you were going to be talking about more. Dude, like, how do you know?
Hold on. You're going to love this. You're going to love this because it's our mutual friend, Mike Vacanti, right? It's Mike Vacanti. Whenever I saw Mike Vacanti, so for everybody who doesn't know, he's been training Gary Vaynerchuk for a while, and he's somebody that him and Jordan Syatt both were somebody that I reached out to back whenever Snapchat was just starting to get popular and everything. I would reach out to them on Snapchat, send them messages, and they would respond back right before they ever knew me. Right now I have their phone numbers, everything. We're friends. But back in the day, I knew that I was going to be able to talk about that stuff because I got permission from the people that I looked up to. Right. And I saw Mike Vacanti talking about these other things in his vlogs, right? Because he didn't always talk about just fitness stuff. He would talk about productivity or whatever. And then just here recently, he's definitely talked about other things. Well, actually here recently, he hasn't talked about much at all because he's been away just writing his book and stuff. But right before that on YouTube and things, he would talk about other stuff. But whenever I had people that I looked up to, people that I respected, people that I knew that one day I could be like them, I could be in a position like them, whenever I saw that they were doing it and they were successful and then people were responding well to that, I was like, oh, that's my go ahead. And so it just, I don't know how to not be myself. Like I just don't know how to do it. And it just seems so much harder. And so whenever I got into the fitness stuff, then soon after that was the personal development type stuff, right? And so I would just start to talk about those things and then I would just think about those things and then I would just relate them back to fitness. And I've done that ever since. So many of my things now that I talk about, I find a cool idea from Naval, or I find a cool idea from you or Tim Ferriss or Rogan or whoever it is, right? Anybody. And I'm just like, okay, this is a really cool idea. And since I'm a fitness coach, I was like, okay, how can I relate this back to fitness? But like I said, that's super easy because so many things can tie into the fitness aspect of things. So yeah, I think part of me at least had permission. I knew that I could be myself and explore my interests, but then always still kind of tie it back to the fitness stuff. And people responded well. So that was, again, another sign. I was like, okay, people are liking this, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
So yeah. How do you go about finding those people? Like you mentioned Tim Ferriss, Naval, Joe Rogan. Like, how do you go about saying, okay, this is a person that I want to learn from or listen to or read? How do you go about picking those people?
Usually, it most often has come from the people that I respect. I see who they respect, right? Mm-hmm. And that at least does a big job in filtering a lot of the nonsense, right? Because if you trust somebody and then they trust somebody else or they look up to somebody else, that at least gives you the go ahead to go check them out and then make the decision on yourself. But they've already, you know, they've checked a lot of boxes in the sense that this person gave them the go. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go check them out. And then I can kind of decide for myself. But the ultimate, I remember back in the day, because with obviously with fitness and nutrition, it's just like it's ever changing. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, I was thinking about this, I'm drinking this Monster on video. And I was like, I wonder how many people are going to message me and be like, hey, dude, artificial sweeteners, you know, those are really bad for you. So if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it, or you can see my YouTube video that I made on it. But one day back in the day, it was Dr. Lane Norton, right? So he's a big proponent of flexible dieting, and he's a nutritional scientist, all these different things, right? And then there's another guy called D.H. Kiefer, who was the inventor of carb backloading, right? And one day, so both of these guys are people that I looked up to. This was several years ago. Both these guys were people that I looked up to. And then one day I saw Lane make, because Lane's been notoriously known for calling people out and, you know, talking shit, apparently. He called out Kiefer and talked about how dumb, essentially, carb backloading was, or not necessarily dumb. He was just like, it's not magic. It's not whatever. It's this. And I was like, my worlds had collided, because I was like, here's somebody I trust. Here's another guy I trust. And this guy's talking shit about this guy. And I'm just like, my mind just exploded. I was just like, okay, so who's right? And so, but that that's also exciting, because I'm just like, okay, who's wrong here, right? Or at least who's closer to the truth, right? And so a lot of it comes with just constant unlearning as well, like, because you have to constantly filter through these people, and especially with diet and exercise, it's like you can't be super dogmatic with things, or else you're going to get left behind very quickly, or else you're going to start spewing pseudoscience, or, you know, I'm going to be flexing with some detox tea in the background on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you can get caught up in that very quickly. But I was just, it's always the curiosity for the truth, right? It's just, mm-hmm. and I don't have any attachment. I look up to Lane, you know, I looked up to the Kiefer dude, but it's just like, I'm not, it's the Mark Andreessen quote, right? The tech billionaire. He said, strong views loosely held. And I love that. I remember I heard that one time, or I read it in Tim Ferriss's book. And I was just like, that's exactly right. Because I don't have any attachments. I don't care if you think protein should be consumed an hour or 90 minutes after your workout. Like, I'm unbothered. Like, I don't care, but I'm going to keep searching for the truth the best that I can. And the best way to do that is, usually through people that I look up to, and then reading on my own, and then just, I can deep dive into the topic. And of course, you know, there's research and stuff. There's the scientific papers. But usually what I do is I just have people a lot smarter than me, or at least one to like three people that I really look up to that are balls deep into the research or something like that, right? Somebody that is credibility. And I have this web of people. I'm like, okay, here's like the first pass, this person, here's what they say. Then there's the next pass, right? It's like, I think about those like spy movies, whenever the doors like unlock and then there's another door and then it like does some other weird thing, right? It's like, and then the truth is at the very end, right? And it's just, each person is another pass towards that truth. And it's just, I see what they're saying and they're saying and they're saying. It's like, if all three of them, if the consensus is mostly on this one thing, like, hey, here's what we think it is, then I'm like, okay. And I put that in my mind, and then I just maybe move on to the next thing. So yeah, that's kind of how I think of it.
What happened with the Lane and the Kiefer guy? Who won that argument, and how did that go down?
It was Kiefer, I guess, quote unquote, won. It's not necessarily that there's anything, So for people who don't know, carb backloading is essentially in the beginning half of the day, you eat mostly protein and fat, and that is to cater to insulin sensitivity and cortisol and all these different things, right? And so you have fat and protein for the beginning part of the day to control your insulin spiking, and then you work out, and then after you work out, then you consume all of your carbohydrates whenever your insulin is a little more sensitive, all these different things, right? It's carb backloading. So you just have the carbs in the later half of the day. And it's also very convenient that Kiefer was building a brand around this and that he was selling books and things on this. So that's something that you also have to definitely take into consideration. I'm not saying that anybody who tries to sell the things that they believe in are wrong. However, in the filter system of these things, that's something that you really have to consider. And after looking at the research and things, and after listening to Lane and him kind of breaking it down, because he isn't just like, oh, he's an idiot. He's like, oh, he's an idiot because the research shows that nutrient timing has a very, very small effect on all these things. And what Kiefer is saying is it's very hyperbolic, right? Or he can cherry pick these certain studies that maybe show nutrient timing has this grand effect on fat loss and insulin sensitivity and all these different things. However, he's not kind of telling the whole picture. And so what we know as a consensus is that nutrient timing it matters much less than things like total calories for the day you can go into it however much, but there's just other things that are more important than nutrient timing. And Kiefer his positioning was just like nutrient timing is everything. Right. And so it's just, yeah, usually if there's any type of hyperbole like that, or they're saying like, this is it, or if it sounds like he called it like the holy grail of dieting and things, it's like anything that sounds like that, at least with, you know, I can't speak to other things, but with nutrition, especially, it's just like, it's probably not true.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Monster before, and so if you can drink Monster, I should be able to drink Monster on my 75 hard journey this year. Like, that's news to me. Like, what's good with Monster?
Yeah, I mean, so there's pros and cons with everything, right? I'm not saying that there are not any downsides with drinking Monster. I think the biggest, so it's not necessarily the artificial sweeteners. The artificial sweeteners, from what I've seen with the research, and of course, so whenever I say artificial sweeteners, that's an umbrella term for so many different things, right? There's ACE-K, there's sucralose, there's aspartame, right? There's lots of different sweeteners. However, the most of the research shows that as long as the dose is in the poison with the artificial sweeteners, right? So if you're consuming Diet Coke all day long, you're consuming Monsters all day long, you're consuming all these different, you know, if you're drinking 2 liters of Coke every day, it's like, that's probably, you're probably not gonna have to worry about the artificial sweeteners with that, honestly. But what was interesting with Monster or with energy drinks was actually, they found that it was from the main detriment was from the contaminants found from the can, right? Wow. And so there was some, so if anybody wants to look into it, there's a great website called examine.com that is heavily science-based. They don't have, I think the only thing that they sell is maybe like their guides on different nutrition topics, essentially, right? But they have a board of scientists. They have a bunch of PhDs. I know the people behind it. They're just really good people, and they really care about the truth, right? And so if you go on examine.com, they can give you an unbiased look, kind of, if you type in, are energy drinks bad for you? They can give you some look on that, and right, and so it depends on the person, it depends on the context with everything, but for the most part, it's like, if you're gonna drink one white Monster, a zero calorie Monster per day, I don't think it's gonna wreck your gut health or anything like that, as long as you're also getting in plenty of fiber every single day, right? You're getting plenty of fruits and vegetables, right? Because that's gonna be while the research is not super clear on the long-term effects of certain artificial sweeteners or certain doses and things like that, what is pretty damn clear is that fruits and vegetables are good for you, right? Mm-hmm. It's like there's quite a bit of data that having a diverse amount of fruits and vegetables in your diet is going to be good for your overall health. It's going to help with gut bacteria and the diversity of that gut bacteria, all these different things. But yeah, man, it's just like, and it's not going to the artificial sweeteners. They can't they're not going to make you fat, right? Because that's going to come from calories in, calories out. Of course, I know it's more complex than that, but at the end of the day, thermodynamics absolutely matter, right? And you're not getting that from artificial sweeteners. And so it's just like, yeah, I don't know how boring you want me to get into this topic, but it's just like, it is a very interesting thing that people tend to get really riled up about. And it's just like, again, to bring it back to the beginning, it's just like, this isn't the stuff that fucking matters, dude. It's just, I mean, sorry to say it like that, but it's just like, it's not, people get so caught up in the minutiae, and it's just like, should it be white rice or brown rice? Should it be sweet potatoes? Should it be white potatoes? Should it be, you know, low fat or low carb? Or should it be that? I'm just like, dude, you're making it way more complicated than it needs to be. Life is already very hard. It's like, I'm pretty sure that most people, if they have they choose their dietary choices throughout the day, for the most part, you can probably get it right. I'm not going to say that you're going to, you know, optimize everything or anything like that. But for the most part, people are like, I should probably eat that salad and not, you know, skip out on that donut. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's, I know it gets more nuanced and things, but for the most part, there's much deeper issues. There's behavior change stuff that people need to worry about. There's exercise, there's all these different things that people should be focusing on first before, hey, is this artificial sweeteners from this one can of Monster per day gonna really wreck my health?
Why do you think that we focus so much on the trivial facts? Is it just lack of knowledge, or is it lack of wanting to understand? What do you think it is?
I think it absolutely is lack of knowledge, but I also think it's an easy distraction, right? Because if you're sitting there worried about, you know, if you're sitting there worried about the artificial sweeteners in Monster, you don't have to think as deeply about why you're emotionally binge eating at nighttime, right? Or something like that, or you don't have to think about, let's see, it can be a lot of different things. But I think for the most part, yeah, it's difficult to think about. It is so overwhelming to think about, right? If you don't know tons about diet and exercise, it's like there's so many different things you can do, and there's so many different ideas being thrown at you constantly, right? It's like it can be hard, and to want to get to the bottom of that is going to take quite a bit of work. And so they want to hear from me, hey, dude, it's just the artificial sweeteners, right? It's just the carbs, you know? I just need to cut out the carbs. I need to cut out the sugar, and then I'm good to go, right? And I'm just like, well, maybe for a certain period of time, yeah, sure. Like, but that's just a tactic, though. It's not what you really need to do is learn more so the basics of nutrition, right? The basics of exercise. Whenever you, it's the first principle is thinking. That's all it is. And I understand. I fully understand that it's easy to be like, hey, learn the first principles of nutrition and exercise. Like, go, you know, good luck. However, but I think that's part of it. It's the first principles thinking with a lot of these different things. But with nutrition, yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. Find some people that seem credible, that I think have, that are somewhat experts in this field. Maybe they have some type of, I think having some type of academia in the field is at least a good first filter compared to the rest, right? If I'm going to have somebody who's in academia who got their PhD in nutritional science, it's like, I'm going to trust them over Joe Schmo on Instagram who's touting about, you know, eating sardines straight from the can or something like that. I don't, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, that's the first filter, but start with 1 to 3 people like that, and then kind of then see what they're doing. And then you can do that, and you can listen to them, and it'll probably end up working, right? Like, because there are so many things that do work, but you have to kind of navigate what works for you and your lifestyle. And that can definitely be very tricky. But the more people that you kind of listen to sometimes, and you don't really know how to filter that yourself, you're going to get caught up in the weeds, because there's going to be this person that says this. There's going to be this person that says this. You know, on Twitter, I see it all the time. I'm just like, this person says this and this, intermittent fasting and keto and vegetarian and all. And some dude's like combining all of them at once. And I'm just like, bro, like, sure, if you're a single dude who's 25 years old living by himself, it's like, you can do intermittent fasting, keto. But if you're a 47-year-old mom who has a husband and two children, and you're in charge of making dinner at nighttime, good luck being like, yeah, guys, we're gonna do some keto intermittent fasting, and you guys are just gonna be eating bacon wrapped steak from now on, and that's and we're gonna drink some MCT oil in the morning, you know, and we're gonna put butter in our coffee, and that's all you guys get, you know. It's just like it's completely unreasonable. It definitely goes deeper than that, and it takes some trial and error. But it's just like this is. With diet and exercise, it's just like this is something that you're going... I always tell people good news and bad news. The good news and bad news is that you're going to be working on this stuff for the rest of your life. I was like, sure, you just signed up with me for 3 or 6 months. But I was like, you're going to have to learn how to eat and how to exercise properly for the rest of your life, you know, if you want to have very good quality of life going into your old age. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, It's something that's worth putting some time into. It's worth taking some time to learning the basics about. And it's just like you, yeah. And the thing, and this is the last thing I'll say, the reason why so many people have opinions that they think is right on nutrition, especially, is because everybody eats every single day. And so think of any other activity that you do every single day that you like it, even just doing something, even if it's wrong, you're going to feel like you have more of an expert quote unquote opinion on it simply because you do it more frequently. And so with eating, since you have to eat all the time, you eat a certain way. And then all of a sudden something happens, right? You lose body fat because you did keto or something like that. And nothing else behind, like before you worked. And so you're like, keto's the answer. Keto is our savior. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, everybody should be doing keto. That's what works. And it's just like, but they don't understand the underlying nuance. It's like, no, you probably just stopped drinking Coke and you probably stopped eating all that bullshit at nighttime. And you inherently ate lower calories because you were just eating two food groups. You cut out an entire food group. What are you talking about? Like you cut out an entire macronutrient. What do you think is going to happen? And also if you start up keto, what else do you think has happened? You're probably going to end up walking more because you're more cognizant of your movement. You're also probably going to be working out more frequently. You're probably going to be working out harder, right? It's like, all of these, but then no, it's just keto. That's it. Keto's the answer, right? It's like, no, man, it's deeper than that. But again, I empathize with people because I understand, because I've done the same shit, you know, with whatever else it is. But nutrition is one of those things where it's just people do it all the time. So you can have a delusional, inflated sense of your own knowledge on it. And so I have to, you know, I empathize with that.
It's the Dunning-Kruger effect where find something right away and you say, oh, this is the answer. And I think it's important to just be cognizant of that whenever we attack anything new in our life. Like, oh, you can come to a conclusion quickly by doing something one way, but if you do it longer, you might have less knowledge about a topic, but feel better about it.
Dude, and the Dunning-Kruger effect happens over and over and over again as you level up your knowledge, right? It's just like, it's that whole thing of as you gain more knowledge, you realize how dumb you really are. It's like, that's how I feel whenever I have friends who are legit like researchers at Yale or something like that. Yeah. Like I have those group of people that I turn to whenever it comes to anything like scientific or whatever it is. It's just like, I hear them talk about stuff and the nuance with not only studies, but then like statistics within the studies and study design. So not only do you have to understand training, or not only do you have to understand the biochemistry and the physiology and the biology behind all of these different subjects, but you also have to understand study design and statistics and all these different things, right? And I'm just like, that's not me. And I just realize how stupid I really am whenever I listen to the really, really smart people. And so knowing that, I realize how much I don't know. And then I also realize that with other concepts in life that aren't diet and exercise, I just realize just because I watched a documentary on Netflix, I'm not immediately an expert on whatever it is, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like, it takes that mindset though. It takes that self-awareness and that detachment from, it's like as soon as you get some type of ideology with diet and exercise or with anything, right? It's like, you're screwed because then you can't, you're, it's going to be so hard for you to change your mind and get closer to that truth. And so that's constantly that's constantly what I work on, not only with diet and exercise, which I think it's good that it started with diet and exercise, because that helped me then do that for other areas of life. And I think that that's helped serve me well.
Yeah. So speaking about other areas of life, I wasn't surprised to see your pinned tweet being one of my favorite articles from you. Like it was pretty interesting. Like the few times that I went back and looked at the times that I've replied to your emails, and I don't know if that one really hit with people or
it
was
did very much so.
Yeah, because there's a great article which you should all check out. I believe it's called "What Jonah Hill Can Teach You About Life."
Is yeah, it's correct? On GQ. I think it's from GQ.
Yeah. So, but you wrote your perspective on it, and that was what really hit me on it. And you know, I'm going to read the Jonah Hill quote because I think it's powerful, and then we'll get into your lessons from it. Okay, this is from Jonah Hill. Okay, I'll be totally real. My neighbor here is 92. His name is Jeff, and he's the reason I moved to the beach, because I was talking to him one day on the deck. I would have lunch with him once a week on the deck. I said, "What's the deal, man? You're the happiest guy I've ever seen in my life. Why are you so fucking happy?" And he's like, "I don't look around at what anyone else is doing. I just live my life, and I don't look at what other people are doing." And he passed away 2 days ago. And the reason I bring this up is because my hero used to be Mike Nichols, but now my hero is Jeff. Literally, if you said, "Who's your hero?" I'd say Jeff, because this guy lived happy, not giving a fuck about the stupid rat race, and then died at 92 at the beach.
Dude, I get chills hearing it, but what I'm going to do real quick is, I don't know if you saw what I put on my story literally last night, I think at 1 a.m. or something, I was reading, there's a new book by Oliver Berkman called 4,000 Hours, Time Management for Mortals, and it's beautiful. It's so good. But I'm going to read this story real quick. I promise I'll go fast. But so he said...
Go slow.
He said...
No rush.
Mexico, for example, has often outranked the United States in global indices of happiness. Hence the old parable about a vacationing New York businessman who gets talking to a Mexican fisherman who tells him that he works only a few hours per day and spends most of his time drinking wine in the sun and playing music with his friends. Appalled at the fisherman's approach to time management, the businessman offers him an unsolicited piece of advice. If the fisherman worked harder, he explains, he can invest the profits in a bigger fleet of boats, pay others to do the fishing, make millions, then retire early. "And what would I do then?" the fisherman asks. He said, "Ah, well then," the businessman replies, "you could spend your days drinking wine in the sun and playing music with your friends." It's just like...
It's like you can get there now.
That's the truth. And I think whenever I hear people like Jonah Hill, somebody who has the success, the money, the power, the fame, all those different things, right? Say that, "Nah, dude, it's Jeff who is my inspiration, because he's chilling here. He's doing whatever he wants to do. And he's just loving his life." And it's the same thing with the fisherman. I think that stuff hits me so hard, and maybe it hits you so hard. And I think why it hits other people so hard is because a lot of our time is spent yearning for these things that we think that we want, but it's just the six pack wrapped up in some other idea. You know what I'm saying? Like that's all it is. But because I haven't made $1 million yet a year, I'm just like, that's what I need. That's what I need. But then I think that they hit so hard is because it's just like, there's more to life than that. And I think that this is where the mindfulness stuff comes in. This is where the acceptance and learning more from Naval and people like that. It's just like that. I think that is very true. But also, excuse me, I very much admire people who are on their own wavelength, right? I this is why I love talking with you as well. And it's just, I love people who do whatever the fuck they want to do and don't care what anyone else has to say. Like, it's just, I love people that are just unapologetically themselves, right? It's the Naval quote, whenever he says, he's like, "I don't," "I don't want to be the first in the crowd." He's like, "I want to avoid the crowd altogether," right? And it's like, that's exactly it. It's like, I don't even want to go, I want to, like your narrative of whatever success is, I don't want to be following that. And I think that that just takes so the highest version of yourself, right? You can't get to the highest version of yourself through a lens of delusion or of what somebody else wants or through a lens of what you think you should want, right? And I think that that is what you have. I'm constantly trying to detect my own bullshit is that like, I think I should want this and I think that this is going to make me happy, but I know it's actually not. And so whenever I read that with Jonah Hill, it's like I remember reading that day, and I try to have at least one day per week where the only thing that I have to do that day is write something really well. And usually that comes on Thursday, right? Because I have the Friday emails that I send out, and it's like Thursday, my whole entire schedule is clear. All I have to do that day is write a good email, because I love writing. And like, I just want to take one good idea and then just kind of give my own spin on it. And so whenever I read that I read that article, because every morning I wake up and that's kind of how I get the momentum going, is I read something that I find interesting, and that kind of gets the greases off the gears and stuff, right? And it gets things going. And I saw that pop up and I was like, oh, I like Jonah Hill. This looks like a good article. I read that article and it hit me so hard, and I was just like, yes. I was like, this is it. I was like, this is what I want to write about today. And it's like that, there was nothing else I wanted to be doing that day except for that. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like that. And it's just like for work, that's the only thing I wanted to do that day. And that was a successful day. It's like so many times in the beginning of my day, I want to write down at the top of my to-do list or whatever it is, the top of my paper, just like, what would make today a good day? Right. And I think that's such a, it's so simple when you hear it. I think I got that from James Clear or something. I don't even want to take credit for that, but I think it was James Clear. And I was just like, that's so simple and so true though. It's just like, what would make today a good day? And then you list that out. Right. And one of the main things on that day was, it was the only thing on my list was write that email. And I wrote that email and I spent some time on it. I took my time with it. I went all day on it, and I felt really good about it. I proofread it a couple of times, and you saw it was only like, it was less than 1,000 words, you know. And, but I wanted every word to be perfect, and I wanted it to be honest and real. And that takes some self reflection throughout the day, right? It takes some time to be like, is this really what I want to be saying? And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad you brought that up, because that has nothing to do, quote unquote, nothing to do with fitness. Yet it's one of the main reasons why so many people follow my work, is because they know they're going to get something like that. And I'm going to touch on something like that, that can then allow them to understand themselves a little bit better. And my hope is that in that understanding themselves a little bit better, then maybe they can make a better decision whenever it comes to their diet or their exercise, because that's going to make them the person who they want to be. Right? It's like with all of this stuff, with diet and exercise, it's all about keeping the promises you make to yourself. Right? And that's I have it on my sales page. It's like, but fitness is the vehicle. This is perfect. This is a good full circle moment, right? It's just like, fitness is my vehicle for showing my clients how to keep the promises they make to themselves. And whenever you keep your word to yourself, you build self-trust. And whenever you build self-trust based off keeping your word to yourself, the next time that you have an opportunity, your next choice to keep your word to yourself, you're much more likely to do that. And then that compounds and it stacks and you become this higher version of yourself, right? You literally, it's a metamorphosis, decision by decision, into the person that you want to become. But it starts with that one singular promise to yourself. Whatever, if you're going to choose the side salad instead of, you know, getting the croissant or something. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and I know that seems small, but it starts with that one singular decision. And then you realize, oh, I can only have two Oreos after dinner, right? It's like the people who have to keep the treats out of their house entirely. It's like, no, you don't. What you need to do is have dinner and then just have two Oreos, put the Oreos away. And then you realize, oh, I do have self-discipline. I can do this. And then next time you go to reach the two Oreos, it's not as much as a mental struggle to get those two, to just get those two Oreos and then put that away. And then 6 weeks of doing that, or 6 months of doing that, you can get the two Oreos without, and you just put it away, and it's totally fine. Or you can be like, nah, I'm good. I don't want the Oreos today, because it doesn't have that control around you, right? And there's no internal conflict with that because you know exactly who you are and what you want and what is important to you. And you can decide, because it's not right or wrong to have the Oreo. That's not the point. The point is having values, having priorities, and then matching your actions to those priorities and values in that moment, right? It's like that's it. And you just do that over and over and over again. And that's how you build real self-confidence and self-trust and belief in yourself. And then maybe along the way, you can also get a six pack, right? It's like, that's it. That's it.
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody who's having trouble keeping the promises to themselves?
Start small. Start with, hey, today I'm going to have a side salad at lunch. And then after lunch, I'm going to go for a walk. So you have two things that align with what's important to you, and then you do them. And then you do that for the entire week. But then
let's say you don't do it and you feel worse about yourself because you said you were going to do something and you didn't.
Well, it's time to step the fuck up, dude. Hey, man. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, if you say that this is important to you, if you have these certain things, well, then figure out, okay, even better, right? Because that, sure, for some people, absolutely, try harder is the answer, right? It's just like, try harder. That's it. But for other people, and this is why I just made my 7-day email course, why I called it Frictionless Fat Loss, right? It's because you have to remove the friction of what you're doing now and what you want to be doing, right? And so the biggest thing that I always talk about with people is with fitness and diet, it's just like you have to figure out how to work with yourself, not against yourself, right? And so going back to the mom trying to do keto and intermittent fasting, there's a lot of friction between what she's trying to do, right? And it, like what she's doing now and then what she's trying to do, which is keto and intermittent fasting. However, she has two children and a spouse who's about to divorce her because she's crazy. I'm kidding. It's working with you. So maybe the side salad isn't what they wanted to do. Maybe they couldn't do that. But what if they could have protein at every single meal, right? It's like, maybe they could do that instead. So then they adjust, they make that promise to themselves, then they try that. And instead of the walk, maybe they wanted to wake up in the morning and go for a jog or something, or maybe just meal prep, or maybe make a smoothie for later that night, or whatever it is. It's test and learn, test and learn, test and learn. It's just, sure. And the other thing with that is one of the things that I talk about in my course is failing fast, right? It's like, that's another huge one, especially with diet and exercise, because the thing that happens on Friday, right? So Friday lunch comes around, your boss brings in pizza. The whole week, Monday through Thursday, you've been crushing it, right? It's boom, 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 boom. You've nailed your calories, you've nailed your macros, whatever it is. You've intermittent fasted, keto, vegetarian, whatever it is you're doing, right? Monday through Thursday, you're fucking on point, right? And then Friday comes around, your boss brings in pizza at work, and then, you know, you give in, right? And you give in, and then because you're now, quote unquote, off your diet, then you go really off your diet. And then Friday night comes and you're like, well, you know what? I've already been off my diet. I already screwed up my diet at lunch. I'm already off my intermittent fasting keto. I'm going to just say screw it. And then I'm going to eat whatever I want Friday night. And then of course you're not going to wake up on Saturday. You're not going to get back on track on a Saturday. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, nobody gets up back on track on a Saturday. I'm just going to relax on Saturday. I'm going to continue to eat a plethora of different things and gorge myself because I know, you know, diet starts Monday. Right? It's like the diet starts again on Monday. That's the Monday mindset. And so, but as you can see, if you constantly are quote unquote on your diet Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday comes and you're quote unquote off your diet and you're really off your diet, well, that's what's called spinning your wheels, right? You're just going on your diet, off your diet, on your diet, off your diet. And the effort, they just counteract each other and you don't actually end up making any tangible progress. So whenever I say fail fast, it's like Friday, whenever the boss brings in lunch, right? And you're like, maybe you really do want that pizza. Because again, there are no wrong answers. If that's what you want in that moment, that's fine. That's okay. If you've gone through the checklist of values, priorities, and like, hey, I just want this pizza right now. I've worked really hard this week. I'm going to enjoy this pizza, right? take the pizza, but then at your very next meal at dinner time, it's like, all right, I had that pizza. I got my fix. I had my cravings gone. Friday night, I'm gonna make sure I keep things tight. It's not going to be anything crazy. I'm not saying you have to get a grilled chicken salad with no dressing or anything like that, but it's like, you know, a big steak, some greens, some potatoes, whatever it is. It's just like, that's great. And then you get back on track. The people, the clients who I have the most success with are actually the ones who are the best at getting back on track. That's all my job as a coach is just getting my clients back on track. It's literally because things happen. Life happens. However, but it's making sure that you make more decisions that are for your goals than against your goals.
Right. What are the ways that the clients who get back on track do so most effectively? What is their mindset? What are they thinking about? How do they go about doing it?
That so the failing fast is a very big one, because whenever people the other example that is really helpful for people is it's like that same concept of, oh, I messed up my diet Friday at lunch, so therefore I'm going to take the entire weekend off, is the same thing as getting a flat tire and then continuing to slash your other three tires. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, do you see how dumb that sounds? And it's like, I understand it's not the same thing. However, it's like that, it's the stories that we tell ourselves, that we interpret these events as having this linking, as Friday dinner linking to Friday lunch, but there's nothing there. There's no connection between those two. There's actually, in that book, Already Free with Bruce Tift, he talks about this, because he talks about this not with diet and exercise, but he talks about, this is where I got this idea actually. What he said, imagine a row of dominoes, right? And you have all the dominoes lined up next to each other, just in a row. Like whenever you knock one over, then the rest of them are going to fall over, right? It's like that. Think about that as how we interpret our thoughts and things, and the idea of, okay, I messed up on Friday lunch, so therefore I'm going to eat whatever I want for Friday dinner, right? This is all the dominoes fairly close together. That's how we think our thoughts are, right? But actually, the dominoes are spaced just far enough so that whenever the first domino gets knocked over, it just falls over on the table and doesn't actually hit the other domino. So we think that the dominoes are all one coherent sequence, right? That we think of that as one event, but it's not actually one event. It's actually 50 singular events, one after the other after the other. And so you have three meals in a day, right? So meal number two has nothing to do with meal one or three. Although because of how we eat and how we think and how we interpret things and how we justify things in our own head, that ends up happening. So fail fast is definitely one. The other one is, it's the same concept, but it's never missing twice. And it's never miss twice. So never having, you know, two crappy meals, quote unquote crappy meals back to back. And again, most people understands what that means. And all you're doing is you're hitting more than you're missing. Whenever you never miss twice, right? It's like if you have three meals per day, and if you follow that rule, two out of those three meals are going to be quote unquote good, right? And that's likely going to lead to more progress than otherwise. And so whenever people hear things like that, and then what really happens is whenever they do it, and then they get the reassurance like, hey, oh, I can go out to eat. I can thoroughly enjoy myself on Friday night, but then wake up Saturday morning and get back on track, and then stay on track on Sunday too, and then get back in, you know, and realize, oh, my weight, sure, it's going to spike on Saturday morning because I had a bunch of food the night before. It's like, that's obvious. You know, I had dessert, maybe I had some wine, whatever it is. But I know if I get back on track Saturday morning and I keep things on track throughout the entire weekend, my weight's going to fluctuate. It's going to go back down. It's going to go back down, and then I'm going to stay on track. And then you can keep, whenever they realize that, whenever they see the data, because that's what's important too. It can't just be all subjective. They have to see the data to understand, to actually believe it. Right. And I point that out to them after they check in with me. I'm like, hey, this is a good teaching moment. I just want you to see that your weight, sure, it was going down all week. And then Friday you had that meal, it spiked up a little bit, but then you got back on track the next day. And then now we're in a perfect spot to hit the ground running for the next week. And that's what it is. That's the secret, Danny. It's just like, it's the consistency. And the more that I can, it's the art of consistency. And the more that I can help my clients be consistent with their everyday lives and routines, it's like, they're going to make tons more progress than whatever they were doing before, even if it's not quote unquote optimal, right? But just because they're more consistent than not, they're going to see great results.
Yeah, it's funny because you were talking about meals and how meal two could be bad, but that doesn't mean meal three could be bad. What right. I was thinking about was thought two could be bad, but that doesn't mean thought three has to be bad.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I get excited about this. It's the same. It's the quote. You have no obligation to be the same person that you were 5 minutes ago, right? Whoa. Right.
Say
it's
with
like
that.
You have no obligation to be the same person that you were 5 minutes ago. And this is the, I remember who said that. Somebody in the, who's listening right now is kicking the air right now. They're like, I know it is. But then also Sam Harris, the neuroscientist who I love waking up. I love his app, but he has a lesson on there called Begin Again. And that's tying these things back with mindfulness to nutrition and things like this is it. It's just like, he has the concept of beginning again. He was like, I just mentally reset and begin again so many times every single day that's what allows me to continue to make progress forward. And so with diet, it's just like with these meals, it's just like there's no reason why the last meal has to affect this next meal. And I talk about with exercise, whenever you're in the gym, how many times have you gone in the gym and you're just not feeling it, right? Maybe you're on your phone too much. You've had shitty sleep the night before, whatever it is, right? But in the middle of that session, before you're sitting there resting, you're about to have your next set. If you think in that moment, if you think about it, like there's no reason why that next set can't be the absolute best, most focused, like the strongest set that you've ever had in your entire life. Like what is holding you back from making that happen? You know what I'm saying? Like as far as physiology, sure, maybe there's other stuff, but mentally, if you're thinking about focus, there's no reason why that next set that you're about to do isn't the best set you've ever done in your entire life. It's just the concept of beginning again. And whenever you realize, hey, you don't have to wait, and this is what I talk about, you don't have to wait until Monday for your clean slate. Every single moment you have, every single choice you make is that clean slate. You know what I'm saying? Like every moment is a new clean slate. And that's it, man. And whenever that clicks with people, they're just like, because that takes off the pressure of being perfect, and that takes off the pressure and the judgment and all these different things. It's just like, oh, I'm going to make so many other decisions just today, not regardless of the next 3 months or 6 months or however long you're going to be working on, maybe, for example, this weight loss goal. But it's just like, whenever you realize that, you're just like, oh, as long as I just keep getting back on track, that one meal that I had out with friends, it's like, I'm going to enjoy that with my friends fully. I'm going to enjoy the experience because I know my next meal, whenever I'm eating by myself and I don't care, you know, I'm going to prioritize my fat loss and health goals, then I'm going to get back on track with that meal, and I'm going to keep my progress going, and I'm able to live my life as well, right? It's parallel, right? I want fitness and your life to work parallel together, not perpendicular. Like that's what I talk about in frictionless fat loss. It's working with yourself, not against yourself. And it takes some time. It takes some time, but it also takes some understanding. But whenever you get that, it's like, then it's just a matter of time for you to reach your goals. You know what I'm saying? Like same thing with the podcast. It's like whenever you have, you know how it feels. Whenever you have that mental shift, whenever you realize, you just decide that you're going to make it fucking happen. And sure, you're going to mess up along the way. It's just a matter of time. And then that's whenever it gets really exciting.
And that's the thing. If you look at it like a 10-year journey of fitness, of podcast, of anything, of mindfulness, you can not do it for a week or even a month. But if you're consistent with it through that long period of time, it's okay. That month doesn't matter. It's irrelevant in the grand scheme of it. And
it's so interesting because I know that you've gone through a little hiatus with your podcast here recently. Yeah. I have too. I haven't, yeah. Because I got a little burnt out. I was doing two podcasts a week and I was just like, you know what? I also had a lot of stuff coming up. I had the holidays coming up and I was just like, I'm just not feeling it right now. And so it's just like you can let people know, people understand, or there's tons of podcasts. People go listen to the podcast. The real people who want to keep listening to you, they're going to see you pop up in the queue and they're gonna be like, oh yeah, shit, Danny's back. Let's go. I'm going to listen to this one. You know what I'm saying? It's just like,
but you get in your head, bro.
Of course.
About let's put it to the going to the gym. It's like, oh, I haven't gotten to the gym in 3 weeks. And then it's like, well, I don't want to because I'm not as strong as I used to be. And so that's an easy thought to fall into. But if instead you say, okay, this is a new moment to try to build back up and climb back up. And that's what this podcast episode is right now for me. It's just starting to climb back up. And it's the first time back in the gym. And maybe you go back with a friend, right? Like, you're a friend to me. I know this is going to be an enjoyable experience. So it's like going with a friend maybe makes it easier, accountability.
It removes the friction. That's it. It's all about building momentum. You're right though. But this podcast is going to be the hardest one. Like the quote unquote hardest one.
Yes.
Now you've started to push the ball down the hill though, right? And now you're getting it back. Now you're like, oh fuck, okay. I remember how to do this. I remember how to put these plates up. You know what I'm saying? Okay, my body's starting to remember now. It's coming back, and then you start to build again, right? That's it, man.
It's crazy because we pushed this one back, and that was me pushing back the going to the gym, right? And it's like easy when you're in that state of doing nothing to continue doing nothing. But it's also when you're doing, it's easy to continue doing. It's so funny.
But what you also have to do is take a look at your values and your priorities, because what you want most compared to what you want now. It's like, sure, you didn't want to get back in the gym, but you know, being a healthy version of yourself is going to be the highest version of yourself. You know that getting back on the horse of the podcast, the pain that you would feel from continuing to not do the podcast over a long term is going to be much worse than hopping on this podcast with me, getting the dust off or whatever it is. Right. So yeah, man, it's just like, that's what people have to decide in the moment, because sometimes you want that cheeseburger and fries or whatever it is, but like maybe you have constantly given in and been like, no, I'm going to have the burger and fries today. But it's like, you have to assess, but my values and priorities are this. So just because you can, of course, you always have unconditional permission to eat whatever you want, right? With burger and fries. But it's just like, maybe that doesn't align with your highest values. And maybe the past 2 weeks you haven't worked out. You've eaten way more pizza than you wanted. You've drank more alcohol than you would like. Well, it's like, well, then if you tell yourself in that moment, oh no, I've deserved this or I earned whatever it is. It's just like, it's not even about that. It's just like, that doesn't align with the overall version of myself that I have in my head. And I know that this is keeping a promise to yourself, right? It's like, that's keeping a promise to yourself. And that is that it just makes it easier. And that self-talk builds on each other. And after you keep that promise to yourself, the self-talk, your inner talk, you're like, I can do this. I am a badass. You know, I am like these things. I can do hard things or whatever it is, but it starts with getting back in the gym. It starts with that one meal. It starts with whatever it is. And then you just got to build from there.
Yeah. So you've said before that it's amazing how much better I feel on a daily basis when I do these four things.
Oh, yeah.
One, keep the promises I make to myself. Two, have at least four hours of intentional, undistracted work. Three, exercise. Four, talk to somebody I care about. So we've spoke about keeping the promises you make to yourself, and three, exercise. So what about have at least 4 hours of intentional, undistracted work? What's that all about?
Yeah, with 2022... the number one thing, because I saw Shane Parrish, I think is his name, from the Knowledge Project. So with the Farnham Street, he put up a tweet as far as how he approached his 2022 goals, and he was just like, "What do I want to do more of in 2022, and what do I want to do less of in 2022?" And the main thing that I could think of was like taking back control of my attention, because I feel like that's the number one thing. I just want to take back control of my attention, because with my job being online, and I know you understand this, it's just like, I can scroll through Twitter or I can look through Instagram and I can bullshit myself that I'm doing work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can quote unquote, I'm quote unquote doing work, or I'm, you know, researching or whatever it is. Right. But I know I'm actually just mindlessly scrolling. And so it's whenever I say 4 hours of unintentional or of undistracted work, it's just, I know that I have these priorities. I have these things that are important to me that need to get done. And I know that I can get so much more done in 4 hours of getting this kitchen timer and put, I know you're a fan of the kitchen timer, right? I get this kitchen timer. I put it on an hour and then I hit start, right? And then, I put it on an hour, and I always feel better whenever I don't have my phone and I put that for an hour and then it goes off and then I take a break for a little bit and then I come back and I do the same thing. And it's just, it's because whenever I am too distracted, whenever I have too much screen time, and I've noticed it definitely during the wintertime more, whenever I'm just not outside as much. Same. I'm just in front of screens, man, and the sun goes down a little bit earlier and it puts me in this mood. But if I know that by me doing 4 hours of intentional, undistracted work, by default, I can't do that and also be on my phone all the time. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, yes, of course, that's great for highly productive and prioritized work. However, it also allows me to take back control of my attention, because there's nothing worse than me kind of like, it. You know what it is? It's like whenever you used to have homework back in the day, and if you ever live with buddies or if you're ever just with friends or something, you're like, oh no, I'm gonna watch the game, but I'm also gonna be doing my homework at the same time. Never. And it's like that he, right? How much work, or you're in the library. It's like, how unproductive is the library with friends? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you go there with friends and you just dick around the whole time, and work that could have taken you 1 hour took actually like 3 hours. And it's just like, it doesn't even matter necessarily the work that I do within those 4 hours of the day. What matters is that it's intentional, it's prioritized, and that also that I don't have any distractions. I know that that is going to drive my work forward, which is very important to me, but it's also going to keep me off my damn phone, usually, right? Usually, yeah. It's going to keep me off my phone as much. So for my own mental health, it's just like, I need that, man. I'm still struggling with it. So my screen time is terrible. And I really try to, it's something that I work at every single day, but I'm getting better, because it's the same thing with the nutrition and stuff, right? Again, relating it back to these things. It's being aware. It's if I can pause, and this is what's great with mindfulness. If I'm about to grab those Oreos and I'm about to take the Oreos, like the entire bag of Oreos, over to my couch in front of my TV, I know a whole row of those Oreos are being demolished. Like for sure. They're done. But in that space between me thinking about getting the Oreos and then going to grab those Oreos, if I can just pause for just a moment before I grab those Oreos and then think about values, priorities, whatever it is, just think in my head, is this something that I really want to do? And the thing is like, it's the decision after that isn't what's most important. What's most important is that pause to stop right before I make that decision that I know I might potentially regret later on. And then I can at least consciously decide in that moment what I want to do. So it's like what I'm noticing with my phone or with that stuff. It's just like, if I can just think, hey, oh, I'm mindlessly scrolling right now. Like if I can just pause for a second before I continuously go through my phone or continuously just mindlessly watch something, like that is a win. Because then after I do that enough times, that the next step is actually making the right decision. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, that's why mindfulness is so great, because it doesn't eliminate all negative thoughts ever. But what happens is whenever you do have a negative thought, that little red flag goes up, the little alarm goes off, be like, Hey dude, what are you doing right now? You're a little bit self-aware. And so instead of then spiraling and going down this rabbit hole of a bunch of this negative thinking, that little alarm goes off and you're like, what am I doing? Like, this is silly. Like I'm thinking about all these things that are not even going to probably come true. And I'm just imagining all these things and I'm doom scrolling or whatever it is, right? It's all this stuff, but that is the first step to actually, you know, really improving your overall thinking is having that little alarm go off and be like, hey, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, is this what we really want to be doing? And that's it. That's that little piece right there is huge. So that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, because so often we're doing things we don't want to be doing, but we're unaware of it. And when you can just focus on, when you take a few minutes to focus on the breath or focus on nothing, you can then bring that to the rest of your life, so that when you're scrolling, you could just say to yourself, oh wow, I'm scrolling right now, and not judge it too harshly.
And that's really it. Like, because you're not gonna always catch it or anything like that. But whenever you do start to catch it, whenever you do realize, oh, I'm emotionally eating, right? Like I realized I just had a fight with my girlfriend or my boyfriend or whatever it is, and that's probably what's making me emotionally eat right now. And then you become cognizant of it, and then maybe you continue to do it, or maybe you decide, okay, that's enough Oreos for right now. I'm gonna put these up. And it's just, but it's just like, that is the catalyst to change. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how change happened. It doesn't usually happen in the 75 hard necessarily way, which can happen. It can happen that way too, where you're just like, I'm just going to burn all the bridges and I'm just going to jump into this head first, right? It's like, that's totally cool too. You can do it that way, but oftentimes change is a much slower type of progress. And so if you can realize that and kind of celebrate those moments, because that's the wins that I have clients tell me, right? Whenever they say, oh, I've realized that traveling is much easier just because I pre-planned a couple protein snacks or something like that, right? Or, oh, I really had this craving, but I sat with it for about 10 seconds or 15 seconds, and I realized I'm not actually hungry. I'm just bored, right? And I decided not to go get whatever that snack was. Whenever in the past I was programmed, I was conditioned, whatever it is, to automatically go grab that snack whenever I'm bored, just like we're automatically programmed to pick up the phone anytime something becomes difficult, right? That's usually what happens with me, is like I'm working on some problem, it becomes difficult, and I'm like, I want to go on Instagram now, because it's productive procrastination, right? For me at least, because I can be like, well, I don't want to deal with this really difficult problem that I should definitely be focusing on instead of going on Instagram. However, I can go on Instagram and maybe answer a couple DMs. I can help a couple people. I can maybe post on my story, because, you know, that's still work, but it's much easier than what I'm doing now, right? And that's kind of the thinking behind it.
What's an example of one of the last times you faced a hard problem and went to Instagram instead, or a hard problem that you just tackled once you realized it and became aware of it every day?
This whole course that I just made, this whole frictionless fat loss course that I just made, the email course, because I've had so long to do it, but then I wanted to have it ready January 3rd, because that was the first Monday of the new year, right? And so, of course, with personal trainers and nutritionists and things like that, it's like that's a big time for a lot of people. And so I wanted to make sure that I had it done before then. And so, you know, the months leading up to that, I did that all the time, or I prioritized something else, right? And whenever I needed to prioritize that, and what do you know, a week before like the course was supposed to launch, and as I was like taking emails and things before the course had even been finished, right? Because, you know, I was just like, hey, here's the waiting list to join, and then I'll send you out the course on January 3rd. I was just like, oh, I've made this promise. People have signed up. They're expecting this course on January 3rd. And now I've got shit to do, right? It's just like, it's kind of that one law, Parkinson's law, right? Whenever the time allotted, the amount of time that you give it is how much it'll actually take. And so I was so productive in that week leading up to it. Somehow I happened to get vastly more focused and distraction free, and my time went down and all these different things. But in all the weeks and months leading up to that, somehow I couldn't find the time to actually make it a priority on a daily basis until it got too late. And so it's just like, that's what can be so tough, is like, how can I, it's working on the business and working in the business, right? It's just like, it's with coaching with me, it's like, I want to put out content on a regular basis, maybe on Instagram or on Twitter or to my email list or whatever. Like, that's kind of short-term stuff that I have to do. But then also it's like, I need to think about the long-term vision. So I have these long-term projects that I'm also working on. So, and the email course was one of those. So it's like, but it's like the email course, that's something that I needed to work on today, but I wasn't actually launching it until several weeks or months later, right? And so it's hard to battle with that, because I need to think about how can I get clients now, but how can I also make sure I can continue to get clients 6 months from now? Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like you have to kind of think both within these contexts, or else you're constantly going to be just, you're just kicking the can down the road. If I'm just, for me personally, if I'm just putting out content on Instagram or something, and I'm not thinking about, oh, I need to make sure I get people on my email list, and I need to make sure I have this autoresponder or this sequence that takes them through these certain things, I need to make sure that all these different things, like if I just post on Instagram every single day and just hope that I'm going to get clients that way or something, it's like, what happens if Instagram goes away tomorrow, right? It's like, so you have to then what am I going to do, right? But if Instagram went away tomorrow, and over the past 6 months or 6 years I've been working on building my email list, well then it's okay. Like, sure, it can be inconvenient, but I'm not going to be ruined because of that. You see what I'm saying? So it's constantly thinking, okay, what do I need to be doing now? But also, what do I need to be doing 6 months from now, 3 months from now to get where I ultimately want to go? And so it's hard. It's a hard challenge. So yeah, man, that's where I've been procrastinating. It's on bigger projects. That's all it is. It's bigger projects.
How can you make it easier for yourself to do bigger projects?
It's what I figured out was I needed to take the first hour of each day, everybody says to do, like the highest priority type thing. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, who would have thought that would freaking work? You know, it's just like, whenever I started to be like, okay, I just an hour. And dude, that's why this thing is so powerful, because
kitchen timer, baby.
The kitchen timer. If I just, and I've been doing this at nighttime too, whenever sometimes I have to wrap up, like maybe, cause I have my work day and then I use the gym as my hard cutoff. Like I use that as my hard stop. After the gym, I'm done for the day. But nice. Of course, sometimes there's certain loose ends that I have to tie up after dinner time or after work, or I'm sorry, after work and after the gym. But I'm just like, I don't want to fall into that trap of, oh, I'm going to watch TV and also work. And that 30 minutes of work turns into 3 hours of work. And then I'm not fully relaxing and I'm also not fully working. And I'm just in that stupid gray area that sucks in the middle. But it's like, but if instead I would put 30 minutes after I got home from the gym, if I came home and I kept momentum from the gym, I didn't get cozy, I didn't get comfortable. Because this is key, Danny. I'm telling you, bro. This is what I think about. This is, I get home from the gym. I know I've got these couple emails that I need to send out. I've got 30 minutes, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a quick 30 minutes. I'm going to put it on the timer. I'm going to come straight home from the gym. I'm going to open up my laptop. I'm going to put that timer on. I'm going to hit start. And whatever I need to get done for the rest of the night, I'm going to put 30 minutes on the clock and I'm going to make it happen within that time, right? And it's just kind of like a race. Then it's a game. And then I know as soon as that 30 minutes is up, I'm going to go shower. I'm going to make some delicious food. I could turn on some music. I can relax. I can hang out. I can enjoy the rest of my night knowing that I kept the promises that I made to myself, as opposed to having it linger around and feel bad, be like, oh, I didn't. I said I was going to do that today and I didn't. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just that's it. It's starting in the beginning of the day. I'm just like an hour. That's all I need to dedicate to this. Like, it's just 1 hour. And if I go more, that's great. But I'm just going to do 1 hour. This is like the same analogy with just having your gym shoes next to your bed whenever you wake up. It's like, your goal is not to make it to the gym. Your goal is to put those damn shoes on. Because as soon as you put those shoes on, you're not going to get back in bed. You're not going to do whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, once you get dressed and you put your shoes on to go to the gym, that's all you need to make it
to.
It's
over.
You don't need, then the rest of the pieces fall in place. So if I can just wake up and just get to that timer and then set that timer there, and then I know, okay, and this is, and usually what also helps is the night before I make sure, okay, this is what I'm for sure going to be working on within that hour time. Because if there's any type of, again, if there's any type of friction between thinking about like what I need to be doing, it's I can use that as an excuse of to be reactive, and I can go to Instagram or I can do whatever else seems convenient in that time. So the next day starts the night before. Usually that's what I try to do, at least, and have that listed out so that whenever I tackle the day, I can start off immediately and be proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah, that's a very helpful strategy that on my best days I employ as well. I'd be remiss if we didn't speak about the last thing that was on your list of four, which is talking to somebody you care about. Is that something you have on a checklist? Is that something you do religiously? Like, how do you go about making sure that you hit that?
Yeah, it's... So I do have a girlfriend, so that's definitely part of it. And I have so many good friends in this industry, and I have so many people. It's funny you say that. So tonight at 8 p.m., I have a call with three other friends, a Zoom call, just like we scheduled that one time just to sit there and just chop it up for an hour. It's like, but the thing is, I'll be talking with these three other guys. We'll probably talk for 3 hours, I bet. So it's making the effort to do little things like that. But then also, if I see somebody's story on Instagram or something like that I really like, or it's one of my friends, or they make me laugh, it's just like actually using social media to be social and reaching out to them and say, oh, I love this or whatever it is, that can be a part of it. Or calling my parents on the way home from the gym, you know, that can definitely be a huge one. Talking to my girlfriend. And yeah, so it definitely, I don't have it like built into my day. Usually it just happens, but I put that on there because I just know that whenever it does happen, whenever I do talk to somebody that I care about, it's just my day is instantly better. And so yeah, obviously, yeah, cultivating that is good, but I'm more of a, I'm not as much of a checklist type of guy like that. It's more so just like it happens. I feel like this is the right moment to do that. Or if they just call me up and I'm like, okay, this is it. This is that time. So yeah, I don't have any hard, fast rules with it. I'm just like, this feels right. Or something comes up on Instagram and I'm just like, hey, we should talk about this or something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's well, this has been my moment of the day talking to somebody I care about. So I appreciate you checking that off and helping me in that way.
And I'm happy because I know that we've talked about this as well. It's like, this is, even if there was nobody listening to this conversation, Danny, like I hope you did. And I did, cause I definitely did. I get fired up with this stuff. I just love talking, as you guys can tell. But it's just like, yeah, the podcast in itself, even if there was no external rewards that came from it, it's just like this conversation, especially like I said, as people who do live behind screens very often, it's like just having this conversation, not checking my phone, not checking any social media, nothing. Again, 4 hours of undistracted work. It's like, this is already checked off about an hour and a half and I'm feeling good, man. So it's just like, what else are we supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what else are we supposed to be doing right now, Danny? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, this is what I want to be doing. This is what I want to be doing. And yeah, I'm very thankful that I know you and that also you have me on and that I can call you a friend, man. Like we connected that first time. I knew we would as soon as you came on my podcast. And then after you got off that podcast, you were like, that's one of the best ones I've ever done. And I was like, good. And then I told you, I was like, I want to, cause I was in New York at the time. I was like, I want to be your friend. And you were like, how do you just say that? Cause that was the first time I ever talked to you. And you were like, how do you just say that to people that you just like want to be their friend? And I was like, because I do want to be your friend because our values align and it's a wavelength, bro. I put it on my Instagram yesterday with the people that I met over the weekend at the event that I went to. There's certain people that are on this wavelength that listen to this podcast that are trying to get the highest version of themselves. It's just like, you put us in a room together, we're going to hit it off. That doesn't mean that we're all of our interests are aligned or that we all do the same things, but our values, our morals and who we are as people and what we believe is right and how we see the world is all very similar. And so that's the wavelength that we ride on together. And so, man, I'm stoked about it. I'm stoked about it.
Well, I'm happy that this podcast has interested people like you and that it means the world to me because I put this podcast out so that people like you would respond to it and would care about it. And it's funny to see it all come full circle and for you to come on here. And I'd like to end it with a quote from you, which goes, I'm trying not to force things in my life. I'm not trying to hold on or resist what naturally presents itself. Whatever happens, I'm saying yes in acceptance. Less desiring, yearning, whining, self-judgment, and hoping. More kindness, compassion, openness, and non-judgmental thinking. Just thought it was a beautiful quote, and I'm better off for reading it, and I hope people are better off for hearing it as well.
Thank you, man. The quote ties in very nicely, I feel like, with a lot of the things that I've talked about, because that's I feel like the root to a lot of this is kind of that flow. And I know you're big on the surrender experiment and just kind of like acceptance. And, you know, this is where I talked about that book Already Free and Buddhism and things like that. It's just like, I truly believe that that's right. Like, I truly believe like that is, how
the
we
truth.
Find, it's the truth. It really is the truth. And it's how we find more inner peace. And I feel like that's how we allow ourselves to actually see reality. And it's I think it's the book Awareness by Anthony DeMello, and he was like he was like, what is it, like life is a banquet but everybody's asleep or something like that. It's like life, it's like there's a banquet all around us, there's a symphony going on. You know what it was? It's interesting because I just put this on my story last night too. So I'm going to read this real quick. Hold on. So this is actually from his book, The Way to Love. He said, think of yourself in a concert hall listening to the strains of the sweetest music when you suddenly remember that you forgot to lock your car. You are anxious about the car. You cannot walk out of the hall and you cannot enjoy the music. He said, there you have a perfect image of life as it is lived by most human beings, right? So you're in this concert hall. There's this beautiful music going on all around you. But then you remember, oh, I locked my keys are in my car. I forgot to lock my car. And also I can't get out of this concert hall. So now I'm worried about my car, but I'm also not fully enjoying this beautiful symphony that's going on in front of me. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's just like that is, there's a thin filter going in front of everybody's like eyes and minds that whenever they don't have awareness around these things and they're constantly living in the future, they're constantly yearning. It's the desire. It's all these different, and whenever I say them, I mean me, right? Like, yeah. So it's like the things that we need help with the most is what we tend to teach, right? It's like that's that all these stuff, the reason why that resonated with you so much and resonated with other people and my content and stuff, it's like, because this is the shit that I'm trying to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that's why I write about it, is because it's for me selfishly. So yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that quote up, because it's something that I am still very much learning on a regular basis and trying to practice. And it's difficult. However, it becomes easier over time, especially whenever, you know, have people like you have these conversations, have this stuff in my ear all the time. It's that beginning again, right? It allows the reset to be a little bit easier, and then that filter can come down and I can fully see and enjoy the symphony, you know?
Hell yeah. Anything else you want to add to cap this baby off?
I just want to say I'm super stoked for the Danny Miranda podcast episode 1000. And whenever all I ask is that whenever you're just extra, extra famous and Joe Rogan material, just like, I want to come on the podcast so that we can reminisce about this moment. Because I'm telling you, if Danny Miranda was a stock that I could invest in, I would totally do it. NFTs, I know, whatever, you know, it's just like, I fully, appreciate what you're doing, and I love what you're doing, and I'm so happy that you're doing it, because I think it's really helping a lot of people. Two, I think that the world needs it, and three, I can tell that you really enjoy it. I know that you've whatever had this period in the past couple months or whatever it is, but it's just like, hey, dude, that's it. Like, that, it's like, that's the rite of passage with this type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like with any type of field or anything that you're trying to become great in, and you were doing podcast after podcast after podcast, it's just like, hey man, that's you just, maybe you just burnt out a little bit, and that's fine. That's okay. Because again, you have the opportunity to begin again. People are going to be like, dude, you're fine. Like, this is life. But as long as you keep going, you keep putting this stuff out, it's like, and which I fully believe you are, it's like, we're all going to make it, bro. We're all going to make it. So yeah, but yeah, thank you, man, for having me on. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate the kind words, my man. Where can people connect with you further?
Yeah. So, all my social media is at Matt McLeod 6. So that's MattMcLeod 6. And then my website is mattmcleod.org. My podcast is the More Than Fitness podcast. You can also find Danny's episode on there. I don't remember which one it was, but we had a solid episode.
We'll put it.
Yeah, it's also on YouTube. Yeah, you can find my YouTube as well. But the course that I mentioned throughout this entire thing, so Frictionless Fat Loss, it's my new 7-day email course. It's how to, let me make sure I get the tagline right. So it's how to lose the most amount of fat by doing the least amount of work. And that's kind of, it's frictionless fat loss. And so you can find that. I can send you the link if you want to put it in the bottom as well, sure. But it's bit.ly/, I always get those slashes mixed up, but it's bit.ly/frictionless fat loss, all one word. And then you could, it'll
caps
take you
no?
to, the, no, no caps, all lowercase, bit.ly /frictionlessfatloss, and you can sign up. It's free. And so I just go through a lot of the stuff that I actually talked about in this are going to be lessons within that. And it's a very, it's like a 5-minute video lesson. And then I give you some key summary points in case you don't even want to watch the video. I give you the key points, and then I have a task of the day. So every single day, I give them a task they need to complete for that day. And the goal is by the end of the 7 days, they have full amount of clarity and confidence around what matters most for their fat loss goals, right? And I think they're going to, I think the people that listen to this will get a lot out of it, and they'll be able to draw a lot of parallels to other things in life as well. So yeah, I would love for you guys to sign up for that. And if, do whatever you want to do, but if anything, reach out to me on Instagram, send me a message, just tell me that you listen to this, say hello, ask me any questions you have. My email is matt@mattmcleod.org. If you want to reach me there, just, I love connecting with, you know, people like you, people like us. So yeah, say what's up.
Yeah, definitely do so. Check out his Instagram, great writing as well. And thank you for coming here, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you for listening to that episode of the podcast with Matt. I'm really appreciative and grateful for you spending your time and energy on it. And if you enjoyed it, it would also mean the world to me if you shared it with somebody who you think would enjoy it as well. Thank you for taking the time. Let me know your thoughts on Twitter @HeyDannyMiranda, and I will see you in the next episode. Peace.